I don't know. Pro Bowl, All-Star game.
Did you see the numbers from the Pro Bowl?
No.
It still outrated every other sporting event this weekend.
Really?
Yes.
And it wasn't even, did they even play a game?
It was flag football.
Okay.
They played flag football, and more people watch flag football than any NBA, NHL, like whatever you make.
College basketball.
College basketball.
Okay. Well. Yeah.
The Pro Bowl.
That's just the way it is, I guess. So that was, because at one point I had some time. It's like, the Pro Bowl is on. And I said, I'm not watching, whatever it is.
Not watching flag football? Yeah,
no. I will in the Olympics when it's an Olympic sport, though.
Olympics.
Because in the Olympics, they'll be trying, right?
Yeah, they'll have really beer pong in there next to, you know.
Sure. I like flag football as an Olympic sport more than 3-on-3.
Do you really? Why?
Because 3-on-3 is – the only reason you play 3-on-3 is because you don't have enough people. You don't have a court, right? That's the only reason you play a 3-on-3. In the stinking Olympics, you don't need to play 3-on-3. You have players from all over the world. And you
can play 5-on-5.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Why would you play flag football?
Because it gives other nations maybe a little bit more of a chance to be competitive.
I don't know.
And besides, that may be the future of football.
You know what the problem with 3-on-3 and flag football is going to be? It's supposed to be a country's best.
Yeah.
It ain't going to be a country's best 3-on-3 players.
No,
or a country's best
there are
flag
like
football.
Specialty 3-on-3 players. Yeah. I think Rick Barry, one of his sons, is a really good 3-on-3
But they
player.
Aren't the best basketball players. It's
right.
A form of basketball. It's a form of football. Mm-hmm. But these are like...
Yeah,
Joe
that's
Schmoes.
True.
I don't know.
But my understanding is there are a lot of NFL players that are interested in playing in
playing
the Olympics.
Flag football in the
yes,
Olympics?
And, yes.
Okay. That's all right. Now, if you have Patrick Mahomes out there.
Can
you, oh, man. That would be awesome. Justin Jefferson and Pat Mahomes. And,
yeah.
You
against
know.
Latvia right. or somebody's like, man.
That'd be awesome. That'd be great. Oh, man. Hey, where's your boy? Update. Hold up.
Yeah?
Hold up.
Uh-huh.
Let me check my digits here.
Yeah? Kyle Draper checking his phone.
Matt Maiocco still has not read my message.
Wah.
It's been an hour. This is ridiculous.
He's very busy right now, as you can imagine. Extremely busy. Kings are going to be busy, even though they're back home now, because they're home from the 7-game road trip, and now the schedule... You'd think, wouldn't you, that, oh, it gets a little easier after all these back-to-backs and this road trip. But as we've pointed out, as you may know, they got Detroit tomorrow, Denver Friday at home. Then they're at OKC on Super Bowl Sunday. Then they're at Phoenix. Then at Denver, and that's a back-to-back.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah. And then you have the break after that, right? Then San Antonio.
Yep.
At LA Clippers, Miami Heat. At Denver again.
Three
and
times.
Then, yeah. And then they open March at Minnesota. So
this is brutal.
Mm-hmm.
You got Denver three times in 3 weeks. February 9th, February 14th, and February 28th. That is brutal. And I don't know if you looked at the standings. If the playoffs started right now, it would be Kings-Nuggets first round.
Mm.
4-5 matchup. This is a brutal schedule. This is... And the fact that you got Denver twice on the road, you got Clippers on the road, OKC on the road, Phoenix on the road, like your home games are Detroit, Denver, and San Antonio. And then you got Miami. Like this is a brutal schedule.
So that would suggest to me that if there's anything you can do at the deadline to upgrade, you'd better do it.
Really?
Yeah. Right?
No, I'm with you. I mean, and now is the time, right? And, and the problem is, it's like whoever you get, it might take a week or two to get them.
Yeah.
You know, so they might not even, you know, pan out. And
Max
you know.
McClung is available. Max McClung could be out, I think.
He'd give us some highlights or, you know, a lob threat, if you will. But I'm just looking at this schedule, man, and – you know, you get through middle of March, then it really lightens up for you. Memphis, Toronto, Washington. Like, then you can really start banking some wins. But this is, I don't know what Adam Silver, you know, I love Adam Silver as a commissioner. But what he's done to the Sacramento Kings this season
really
is criminal.
How so?
I'm going to go all the way back to January 9th.
You make it sound like he personally is sitting there over the summer.
He oversees it. He's like the CEO.
Schedule.
Ultimately, you get blamed for everything. You're the CEO. Right. Let me tell you this King's schedule. And this is the problem I'm having with it. And you know this, I'm sure. People at home know this. People listening. Starting January 9th, at Detroit, at Charlotte, at Philly, at Milwaukee, at Phoenix. 5-game road trip. You come home for 2. 7-game road trip.
Mm-hmm.
You come home for 2. 3-game road trip. Mm-hmm. So when you look at the Kings schedule, 5-7-3, that's 15 out of 19 games on the road. That's ridiculous. It's not the Grammys. We don't have the Grammys here. We don't have a rodeo in Sacramento. Oh. Why are our guys on the road so much in January or February?
I think there was a comic book convention last weekend.
Some anime convention or something, right? I don't know what's going on here. Like, this should not be allowed. 15 of 19 on the road.
I wonder why that is. Seriously, I mean, there's obviously some reason. That's
bizarre. I'm going to find out right now. You know, see, I'm going to text my guy and see if he actually texts me back, though. But no, but seriously.
They did have a lot of home games earlier in the year.
Yeah, and March they have a lot of home games.
There you go. Yeah.
March. So it balances out. But by that time, you might be behind the eight ball, you know, and you might have to dig yourself out. And so I just don't understand this schedule at all. It's way too many road games. And I'm living it, man. Your boy is feeling it right now.
I know. I understand that. That makes that 5-2 trip all the sweeter then. Because
Yes, 100%. And, you know, it was an impressive trip from the fact that, you know, that last game, you started to feel it. You know, last couple of games, you started to feel. Like, I met up with the guys in Memphis, and we went to Miami. And when we got to Miami, I said, man, does it feel like you've been gone for several weeks? They're like, yeah, we're ready to get home already. And you still had another week. And so, no, you're right about that, man. It was an impressive 5-2 trip.
It was a 5-2 trip, and they needed every bit of that 5-2 because, again, you look at the standings. Oklahoma City has won 3 in a row. Minnesota won their last game. Clippers, they've won 4 in a row. Mm. The Denver Nuggets have won 2 in a row. Kings just lost. But then you got Phoenix, 6. They won their last game. And the Pelicans have won 3 in a row. Dallas coming off a win. The Lakers have won 3 in a row. Mm. I mean, it's incredible how tough the West gets, and it just gets tougher.
I mean, and we were talking about the trade deadline with Brendan Nunes earlier, and we talked about buyers and sellers. In the Western Conference, you got 12 teams, arguably, who could be buyers and only 3 who are sellers. Like, I would consider Portland a seller. I would consider Memphis a seller and San Antonio a seller. Everybody above that, they have a legit chance at making a play in playoffs. They could be buyers. Golden State, probably a buyer. I would say Houston. Utah, maybe, maybe not. But outside of that, and so it's because everybody is still within striking distance of the playoffs and no nights off. And, you know, you look at the West, Golden State's at 468 winning percentage. And they are the 12th team. The 12th team in the Eastern Conference, the Toronto Raptors, a 340 winning percentage. And so while the East has some good teams, very good teams, the West is stacked, man, so deep in the Western Conference.
Look at the Warriors, their record in conference, 12-19.
You're right about that.
Yeah, just 12 not measured up and 19 against other teams in the conference.
And 10-6 outside versus the East. There you go, right there.
And they won last night, so they're feeling a little better about themselves, but they've got some existential issues. They've got to settle here at the deadline. They say they don't want to trade Klay. They don't want to trade Draymond, but Klay is not finishing. And he talked last night about how hard it is. Klay Thompson is, I was one of the best players in the world. And now I'm sitting down so that, you know, Guy Santos. Nothing against
him. Think about that, though.
Guy Santos
is taking minutes from Klay Thompson.
Yes, and Quinones.
Yes.
Quinones, pardon me. Quinones,
yeah. It's a fall from grace And I still think Clay has some value. Like, I still think he can help a team. But right now it's mental. He talked about it. You know, it's affecting him mentally and emotionally right now. He still can shoot the ball, but now he's in that slump and it's in his head. And so kudos to Steve Kerr, though. Finally saying, you know what? I'm going to go with the guys who are going to help us. He's finally unlocked Kuminga. Kuminga's playing the best ball of his career right now.
No question.
Now, and he looks to be a beast out there for us. And, you know, he's not tied necessarily to their big three as much.
Mm-hmm. They had a game against the Hawks. Was it Friday? Overtime. And they lost. Steph had 60. And, you know, people wonder, how can you lose when Steph scores 60? It's like, well, he has to score 60 for you to have a chance.
Right. He has to be superhuman because, you know, Wiggins is a non-factor. You know, Looney's not doing anything. Draymond can't score for you. Like, really, your only scorers on that team are Steph and Kuminga right now, reliable ones. And maybe you get something out of Klay Thompson. Maybe Pajemski gets hot one night. But they are a severely flawed team. And the problem with them is they don't have the assets to get something done unless they're giving up a Kuminga or somebody like that.
Do you see the Warriors capable of a run? Or
no.
The Jazz or the Lakers or Dallas or the Pels here as we look at the teams behind the Kings?
I think the Lakers still got another gear in them. You know, and watching Brian Windhorst and all these guys on ESPN, I think it was Ramona Shelburne. She made a great point.
They've won three in a row.
They won three in a row, but they're built for the postseason. And so no matter where they are at, I would not want to face the Lakers come playoff time. Play in where you got to win one against LeBron and AD. And I know Sabonis is, you know, perfect against Anthony Davis.
You give me chills.
I would not want to face that team. Like, think about it right now. Let's say the Lakers get the 8 seed. OKC right now is number one, I think it is.
Yes.
They could beat the Thunder. The Lakers can beat the – I know you look at – the Lakers can beat the Thunder. In a playoff series, LeBron elevates, AD elevates – Thunder's inexperience. I think the, like, which team wouldn't you favor the Lakers against? Minnesota, probably?
It's just the whole thing with the Lakers is, yeah, if they're healthy, and that's just such a huge question, right? AD,
right.
If AD's playing well, and that's such a huge question, not only week to week, but game to game and almost even quarter by quarter. And I know he's phenomenal.
Who, AD?
Yeah.
He's played the most games of it. Like, Anthony Davis has been...
But
do you, amazingly healthy.
Do you think
this
that means
season.
Okay? He's healthy now. I mean, for his sake, I'd hope so. But I understand your point. But I'm still not believing that. All right, he's rock solid. Maybe I'm just wrong.
Yeah, I think he is this year. You know, he's played 48 games out of their 52, so he's missed four games. I look at the run they went on last year, and I know the schedule sort of, you know, broke their way having to face the Warriors
and they
in
made
the
some
second
really
round,
good trades.
And they made some really good trades. They would scare me as an OKC team. Like, I don't think I think the Clippers are amazing right now. I think Denver at their best is still good. Minnesota, I think, is still solid as well. But remember last year, there was a conversation regarding the Sacramento Kings, teams jockeying for position to play the Kings. I think this year, OKC might be that team where teams are like, okay, let me see if I could jockey to face the Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my thought. Just my thought.
Before the season started, I had the Kings finishing fifth, and I had them playing OKC in the first round.
Mm. Kings might finish fifth.
OKC's going
right?
to do better than that.
They might be the number one team out there. Unbelievable, man. Unbelievable.
Coming up here with the Drive guys, I have back to the Super Bowl and historical note that, just so you know, if you're a Niner fan, it may not bode well for the 49ers. It's all right. We'll talk it through. We'll end up in a happy place, I'm sure, here with the Drive guys on Sacktown Sports. The End is with you here on the chat, Kyle. The End says, facts, Lakers not built for the regular season.
Right. Yeah, I think so. You know, you're asking LeBron and AD to give it 100% for 82 games. And we've seen LeBron. I've seen LeBron, especially on the East, where seed didn't matter to him. Like, he knew he would turn it on come playoff time. So I think that's sort of how they feel. I think they'd like to be a top six team, you know, but like I said, if they had to face the Thunder in the opening round, I don't know. That's a toss-up to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Boy, the Thunder's a team that could do something at the deadline, huh, if they want it, because they have so many
draft picks. So many assets, so many draft picks. And I wonder, you know, who they would go out, like, would they go to make a big splash? Like, who would help them? You know, is there a star player? Like, because they have the ability to do that.
Sam Presti's so calculated, though. Don't you think he would have a particular guy in mind?
Yeah, he already knows.
Get him, I will. And if I can't, right. I don't want him. Oh, 100%.
That's how Sam is, 100%. He already has his sights set on whoever it may be.
He used to have Jeremy Grant.
Yeah, think about that. Bring him back, right? Mm. No, you're right, man. And they could do, you know, they got all the picks. They got young talent, too. You know, I threw out a name, Josh Giddey. You know, he's playing solid for them, but is he vital to their championship? I don't know.
They don't even need Jeremy Grant, do they, with the front court?
Not really. I don't know. What they just might be a team that needs seasoning. Just, you know, some more time, maybe some bench help, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of seasoning, we've got two seasoned Super Bowl teams going head-to-head on Sunday. I think that's vitally important for both teams. That I know that not all the players have been there, and the Kansas City Chiefs have been there more recently than the 49ers, mm-hmm. but both these coaches have been in the Super Bowl. They actually played each other.
Yep.
Here's the thing, though. This is the fourth Super Bowl head coach rematch. Okay, it's fourth time in Super Bowl history where the two coaches have gone against each other for a second time. The first game winner is 3-0 all-time in the second
exactly.
game.
Exactly. I saw that.
Does that mean anything? Sure, it's true.
I'm just saying.
But does that mean anything?
Does that have a bearing on what will happen Sunday? What are the three? Belichick and Tom Coughlin?
Tom Coughlin. Yeah. Then I think you got to go back to, like, Marv Levy and Jimmy Johnson.
Jimmy Johnson, yeah, you're right.
I think it would be, like, Chuck Noll and Tom Landry.
Tom Landry, Dallas, Pittsburgh. Like yeah, back in the 70s, yeah.
So it's different now, though, because I think, maybe I'm wrong, the way I look at it, further back, coaches were, they were more set in their ways, right? Like, this is who we are,
institutions,
this is what we
do. That's what.
And I think Kyle Shanahan and Andy Reid both are a little more flexible. Like, I think they're more capable of adjusting on the fly. And in this case, Shanahan would be the one would have to adjust on the fly. That doesn't scare me at all. It's true.
It's true.
But it doesn't scare me at all.
No worries about Shanahan this week at all. This weekend at all. That's all I needed to know right there.
Well, it's a fair question because there's so much at stake in terms of his reputation.
Right.
He hasn't necessarily been at his best in the Super Bowl as a coach and as a coordinator. So, a little concern. Yeah. But not so much that it's not like I don't think he has a chance or anything.
No, not at all. No, you're right. I mean, they definitely have a chance. Hopefully he doesn't crap the bed. That's all I'm saying.
What do you think of this conversation? Jay and I talked earlier today about this, right when the show kicked off. There's a discussion now about, well, who's the underdog? And I don't understand why that's a conversation. All you're saying is basically who you think's going to win, right?
Right.
Well, the Chiefs are the underdog. Well, no, really, the 49ers are. What? Well, who do you think's going to win?
But you know why that is. Whitey, come on, man.
It doesn't make any
we
sense.
We need content, baby. Got hours to talk. Doesn't matter.
Aren't you just saying who you think's going to win?
Right.
But instead of saying who you think's going to win, who's the underdog?
Especially when these two teams are as close as they are. Like, now, if you're talking about, you know, a 7 seed going against a 1 seed, that's worthy of a discussion. Not who's the underdog, but playing up the underdog role. Like, in this matchup, I don't know who – it doesn't matter because they're both great teams. Like, to me, this is a legit toss-up kind of Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. I was talking to a 49er fan earlier today, Ken, who works here. I mentioned this earlier as well. And he loves the 49ers, and he's loved them for a long time. And so, you know, I just saw him downstairs today. Hey, how you doing? I said, are you confident of a win? And he looks at me like, what? The way they played the last two games? And he says – so, and this guy loves the 49ers.
Right.
He loves them. He's not like down on them, like in terms of, I can't stand this or that, but he really wants them to win. And he said, I couldn't even watch. I had to turn off the Detroit.
Really?
Yeah.
Dang. He thought it was over. Curtains.
A lot of people did. They didn't know what to make of that. I mentioned I was watching with a bunch of people, and by the start of the second half, I was the only one in there watching. Everyone left and said, tell us if something good happens.
You know what we should do? Jay, you back there, and I need you to chime in on this. We need to put the therapy couch down for San Francisco 49ers fans. Because I'm starting to figure it out, Whitey.
They don't need it yet, but
no, I think so, because here's what I've learned about Niners fans. And Jay, you could tell me if I'm wrong. You're the card carrying member of Bang Bang Niner Gang.
I'm on the council, the board.
You're on the board. Niners fans project arrogance, but inside they're insecure. You see what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Oh, bravado. We're the Niners, but inside, I think they fear the worst.
That may be.
What do you think, Jay?
Fans,
that's
look. I would say there's something to that. As somebody who remembers before they ever won a Super Bowl, and as somebody who was like had to ride the bus down Polk Street the night they won their first Super Bowl. Yeah, I think there's still a little bit of a, you know, San Francisco still has a little bit of an inferiority complex to like L.A. and the East Coast. And when the 49ers beat the Cowboys, the catch,
yes,
that transformed the city and the way people looked at themselves in the city. And I think there's still some of that. Wow, we're Super Bowl champions,
right?
And it's been a while now, you know.
Yeah, and
to
your point, it has been a while. Like you're talking almost 30 years, and I get the sense from Niners fans that, you know, we believe in our team, we're arrogant, we feel good, but the minute something goes wrong or something, uh-oh, here we go. Like, I don't know if there's blind faith in Kyle Shanahan, belief that he can get it done Sunday.
But you know what, too, and Jay, I'm sorry, because I know you want to say something. You also have to go back to Harbaugh comes in, it's like, all right, here we go. Yeah. It's Bill Walsh all over again. Then you had the Kyle Williams game. It's like, Then you had the Super Bowls. Oh, we got the game. It's a touchdown. Oh, they call timeout. Oh, and then it's the NFC Championship game. You know, Crabtree's like, my goodness. I remember hearing Gruden, when he was still an analyst, the day after that NFC title game loss to the Seahawks, and he was on Mike and Mike or something, he said, you know, I don't think you can come back from something like that 3 years
ago.
Wow. Yeah, so 49er fans are still
feeling scarred
that.
A little bit, right?
To the Super Bowl, and you have a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter.
Right.
So that's part of it, too.
There's, you know.
All right, Jay? I mean,
go ahead, Jay.
It's tough.
Yeah, no, I think you're spot on, and I think it's I got to take this because we got a guest. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, you know, Niners fans are to an extent, and hear me out on this, sort of like Kings fans, but Kings fans – haven't had the success the Niners had. Like Kings fans, I feel like, and it's changed now, but I feel like especially last year it was like, as early on in the season, I don't know if this is going to last or when's the bottom going to drop out or, you know, and so they didn't have that blind belief in their team. And I think to an extent, the same can be said with the Niners right now. That's just my thought.
Yeah. I think you're on to some. It's understandable, though. But if a win here at some point is going to just, it's funny, it's going to be a wave of relief.
A wave, like, okay, that's what I'm saying.
I knew
finally
we
did it. Yes, exactly.
Yes.
And,
yes.
You know, until it gets done, there's still that little bit of doubt, like, I don't know if we can. Mm-hmm. And so that's all I'm saying.
We know that the 49ers and Chiefs played in the 2020 Super Bowl. DeMontre Moore is going to join us when we come back. He was a member of the 2019 49ers. So he compares these Niners to those Niners when he joins us next year on The Drive, guys. Sacktown Sports next. Yep, two things going on this week, as we've mentioned many times. We've got the NBA trade deadline just days away, and we've got the Super Bowl. Our next guest is a former 49er. Our next guest is a 9-year NFL veteran defensive end. Spent part of 2019 with the 49ers. He's a 2022 Grey Cup champion with the Toronto Argonauts. DeMontre Moore, nice enough to join us. DeMontre, thank you very, very much for your time. You know, the 49ers talk about unfinished business with the Chiefs, and I know you didn't spend that whole year with them in 2019, but do you feel in a way the 49ers are trying to finish some of your business this Sunday against the Chiefs?
First and foremost, thanks for having me. And yes, it is unfinished business. I actually was with them majority of the year. I was with them that off season, and the funny story is they tried to sign me at the end of the year, right before I went to play in the AAF. So we got deep roots there. So I did off season with them, training camp, and then came back halfway through the season. So You're correct. It's unfinished business. I didn't hit up old teammates. We didn't circle the bandwagon. So we all watching and rooting.
Devontae, Kyle Draper here, man. You know, I'm intrigued by this coaching matchup this week with Kyle Shanahan and Andy Reid. Take me behind the curtain. Tell me about Kyle Shanahan, the coach, the motivator, how he is behind the scenes, and what do you expect from him? He's been to the Super Bowl before, we know. Now he gets another chance. What do you expect from him this Sunday?
What do you expect from Kyle Shanahan? You can't predict, man. Just like his play caller, you think you know one thing and then he comes out with something else. The one thing I can tell you is you're going to have a energetic, cool, calm, collected coach. He's been there before. He's going to tell everybody, hey, you know, just keep doing what we've been doing all year. And if anything, just play with a little bit of extra energy. Like, as much as we're going to sit here and say that it's unfinished business, ignore the outside noise, we do got unfinished business. A lot of those guys on that team were there back in 2020 when we lost. So they had that bitter taste. You have a couple hungry guys there. So they have a lot to prove. And you know he's going to have that extra icing on the top. And then to have his dad there behind him, you know he's giving him some extra wisdom. Hey, man, that locker room is buzzing. I know it is.
Yeah, Demontre Moore with his former 49er. You played for the Niners. It was a couple coordinators ago now. How is the defensive approach and strategy as you watch them? How is it different from what it was in 2020? And in what ways would you say it's the same now under Steve Wilks?
It's still the same. I believe that you have a different dynamic as far as the back end, understanding from Steve Wilks being there. But the one thing that I know about there, Coach Chris Kocurek, man, he doesn't let anybody touch his dog, man. And so when he comes in there and he's going to call his pass rush game, it's all on him. So you see some of the similarity with a new twist to it. And, man, that new edge that they have is good. Now, if they can make the energy just match it a little bit more, I think they can finally seal the cap.
Demontre, when you look at, you know, this matchup, obviously Brock Purdy, tied for the youngest to start in the Super Bowl. What do you see from Brock? I've been on his case all season long. I said, wait till he has to, you know, outslug Patrick Mahomes. Tell me about the quarterback matchup, and what have you seen from Brock Purdy that leads you to believe, if you do, that he's ready for this moment?
I'm a walking book of cliches, man. And the one thing my dad always said, you like wine, baby. We get better with time. And that is what he has done this whole season. So I'm sorry you're on the hating bandwagon, but hopefully you fall over to the other side. But Brock Purdy has showed us time and time again what he has done and what he's capable of. The only reason that they, in my opinion, missed out on the Super Bowl last year was because of his injury. So you can see him coming back with that same energy, tenacity, and hunger. But the difference is he has a little different swagger and confidence. Like, I've been here. I've taken my team here. And the thing about him being a game manager, that's probably the highest praise. He came out with a quote saying, thank you. Because with him being a game manager, he showed us he could throw it on the dime when he needs to, get it to his playmakers. But also when he needs a spark, he can go out there and run the ball. Who expected what he did last week? Well, he came out was astronomical. So for him to go out and play that game and play it now, he's peaking at the right time. So I'm excited to see this matchup between him and Patrick Mahomes. I think competition breeds the best factor and makes you your best. And him going against Patrick Mahomes knows he stepped up every time.
Catching up with former 49er Demontre Moore, still playing in the CFL, also a motivational speaker. Demontre, you being a defensive lineman, how important is the play of the Niners defensive front in this game? I mean, if they can stop the run and get pressure on Patrick, couldn't that be like one of the absolute keys to winning this game?
I think that is the biggest key when it comes to this game, is how far that front four goes. Like I say, you as a lineman, you say every day before the game starts, it starts with us up front. We only go as fast as we go. And I think that's been the strongest point of their defense. When you have Nick Bosa, Eric Armstead, Javon Hargrave, who's playing his best football right now, Chase Young, like, it's going to be crazy. But in that same crazy, there's going to be a lot of opportunities because Patrick's going to run back there. You have to run with a consistent rush lane. And if you can do that, you're going to get sacks. But if you let him out, you're going to allow him to do time and do his magician thing and get things open. So I'm excited to see if they are going to keep the pass rush lane and stay true to integrity.
I was going to ask you about that, Demontre. You know, when you go against a guy like Patrick Mahomes, how important is lane discipline? And, you know, even when this guy looks to be bottled up, down, whatever it may be, he still finds a way. I got to imagine if you're the Niners, you're juiced up, Super Bowl, you're ready to go. How much do you have to avoid, you know, that too much excitement, too much hunger where you get out of pocket a little bit?
You're going to have to avoid it a lot because there's going to be plenty of times that that gap is going to show. And the one thing Patrick Mahomes has shown that he is he's capable of doing is getting out there to the side. And so with that being said, you want to keep him in pocket. With him being short, having to throw behind those tall offensive linemen, that's where you're going to get the opportunities to actually get the sacks and get the key turnovers. But when you let him throw outside the pocket, he has all the free vision that he wants to, and he can move with his feet. That's when he's most dangerous.
As you know, Demontre Moore with us here, Bosa was just asked about the Chiefs linemen, and he said, well, they hold a lot. So I wanted to ask you, how often, honestly, do offensive linemen hold? Do they hold on every play, every other play? And, I mean, how do you let the officials know? I mean, I guess some of it you just got to live with. What is that battle like here when you know that you're getting held and guys, officials aren't calling it?
Man, it is. It's one of those unspoken rules. You just sit there and cry. And I think in these last few years, we've seen a lot of players start to develop that NBA. I might get killed for this, but that NBA mentality of flopping and selling it.
Wow.
You got to go in there. If you don't sell it, they're not going to call it. Like, it's bound to happen. You're in the trenches. Nobody pays attention to the guys down below unless it's something dire and the quarterback gets hit. So it happens more often than you think. Now, the likelihood of me getting called is about how good your acting skills are. Or how much the ref likes you, either one.
Wow.
That's good stuff right there. Demontre, you know, so much has been made about the practice field this week, the Niners field, not up to how they want it. You know, the Niners they're like that wine and cheese crowd. Everything, every blade of grass got to be perfect. Everything, no grass out of place. How much do you think that plays into preparation for the game, field conditions?
As far as it playing into the, as long as it's a decent field, it doesn't play into it. Depending on the surface level, sometimes if you're on a hard turf level, you might get a little bit more wear and tear on the joints. But unless it's just a significant difference, it's not going to add too much of a playing style difference. But what it is going to do is add a certain edge to say, okay, show us some respect. Why are we here? So it adds a little bit of fuel and fire. You know, back in the days when we was in the locker room, sometimes you hurry back, you have to start and make your own enemies, create your own crowd noises. Mm. So maybe this is them creating their own crowd noises right now because they are in Vegas. Like, let's be honest, everything's nice up there. They've been renovating. So maybe they're creating their own enemy right now and add more fuel to that fire. So when it comes to game time, they're fired up and juiced up and ready to go and feeling like the underdogs.
Demontre, could you share with us what it was like playing for Kyle Shanahan? I know as a, you know, defensive lineman, you have your defensive coaches. It's not like you're hanging out with Kyle every day. But you played for a lot of NFL coaches. People talk about the 49er culture. How would you compare Kyle Shanahan as a head coach to other head coaches that you've had in your career?
I would compare Coach Kyle Shanahan as one of the top-tier coaches I've had in my coaching career. One, he was one of the youngest, but the most important factor that I look into being a coach is being player-oriented, actually listening to your players, what they need, not only listening to what they need, but implementing sometimes what they want and having it well-balanced to where they have a voice, but also still having that structure. And he has it, and he's laid back. He built up a culture to where his vets have finally taken over. And typically with those coaches, those great coaches I've been around, him, Coach Coughlin, Pete Carroll, what they've done is they built up a culture to where your vets take over. So essentially, you don't have to say anything. You just have to be there. And being there embodies everything that you do. And that is what he is as a coach. And he is phenomenal. And then to put on top of that, you're smart and you know what you're doing. You're working. And with those type of coaches, you're willing to run through a wall. You can tell by the way that the team comes out every day before the tunnel. Like, they're literally juiced up. And that's the energy and the culture and the dynamics that he has set and bestowed upon them.
Wow. All right, Demontre, before I get you out of here too, man, I just want to know, what do you think about this weekend? We in for a high-scoring game. We know how good the Chiefs' defense is. Is this a low-scoring contest? How do you see this playing out?
Man, I see this as a high-scoring game, but there's going to be big plays made by the defense. When you have great quarterbacks and all this star-studded power, Travis Kelce, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, Trent Williams, I think it's going to be the tale of the defense and who can make the bigger plays. Who's going to have the more interception? Is it going to be Fred Greenlaw or anybody in the back four that's going to step up? Or the defensive front, who's going to be the better defensive coordinator out of Steve Spagnuolo and Steve Wilks? The battle of the Steves, that's where I see it coming down to. And I see it being a tight scoring game, but I see the Niners actually being able to win this by 8 points.
Nice. Yeah.
It'll be around, I would like to say, I think it's going to be 32-24.
Okay.
So we'll see.
Demontre, welcome on this show anytime.
Yeah,
now.
Anytime I know, right? You want to come on, Demontre.
Here's the thing, Demontre. You know what? Demontre, I'm going to keep it real, man. I've been respectful of you for the last 12 minutes or so, but I'm from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, baby. Ooh. I'm an Eagles guy. You play for the Giants. You play for the Cowboys. You play for the Niners. All our hated rivals, man. I've been respectful, but I can't hold back anymore, man.
Hey, it's okay, man. Hey, sometimes they say the truth hurts. So I'm here, baby. Like I said, bang, bang, Niner game.
Oh,
we gonna
get him out of here. Get him out of here,
Jay. Thank you, Demontre. We appreciate it very much. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. This dude,
unfinished business.
Yo, we got any former Eagles, Jay? Damn, what's going on, bro?
What you want? What would we want? They are at home. They're in Cancun right now.
Yeah.
Bahamas. Matter of fact, they cut their phone off. They on a 10-day cruise to Alaska.
They're on that Mayoko text plan. They're not getting back to you.
That dude didn't even get back. You're right about that. I keep forgetting, and still no Matt Mayoko. I'm done with that dude.
I think he's a peach of a fella.
No, he's been done with me forever, though.
Yeah. Brock says he's ready to disappoint Taylor Swift. We'll see what Drapes thinks of our Brock Purdy Super Bowl props when we wrap things up here with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sport.
Oof.
Super Bowl just days away. What are you holding your phone like it's the Lombardi Trophy? What do
That'll
we got?
Be the Niners.
Show it to everybody.
Yeah.
That's all right. Just got a text from my guy. Matt Mayoko.
Nice.
Hey, Kyle, thank you. Hope all is well. Man, that's what I'm talking about. See? Come on, man. Who
it's
else
almost,
you want? You want me to text?
Exactly what he texted me.
You know what this is becoming? You know, through the pandemic, did you guys see the, and I don't remember who started it, but it was one of those things where like two people start. Call the best person or the most famous or the biggest celebrity or the person who does this. And then you call, then they make that person. It becomes like a pyramid thing.
Okay.
Excuse me. We might have to make this one of the things
we
on the show.
Where it's like,
I bet you can't talk. You can't get someone to call you back.
Oh, that would be.
They
got to
like
call you back. Oh, that
yeah,
would
like
be
they
tough.
Might have to
that'd
text you or call you back or say
that'd
they know
tough.
You.
I got some good ones in here, but that would be tough.
Like match Drapes.
That would be tough.
I was working at a radio station one time, and they had a thing where listeners were supposed to have famous people call in.
Yeah.
To the shows, and it was tough sledding. And you remember when Matt Cain pitched his perfect game? So
yeah.
Matt Cain pitches his perfect game, and so we're getting ready to have Matt Cain on, and some listener arranged to have, and at the time he was a really good pitcher, David Price. I think he was with Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
So he calls in and it's like, dude, I'm sorry, we can't talk to you. We're talking to Matt Cain.
Man.
So some listener gets David Price to call in. It's like, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
We can't put you on the air right now. Just bad timing. But good for you.
We got to refine that.
We got to come up with something. There's something there. I like that,
Jay. Because one thing about Drapes is that's my guy.
Yeah.
The thing about Drapes, he makes sure he lets you know that's my guy.
I got the Rolodex, baby. you name the guy. We could do this, you know?
All right. Yeah, that's good.
Who,
that's
good. You know who I don't have? He is my guy, but I just never exchange. Dominique. Dominique's my guy. I don't have Dominique's number, but that's my guy.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a sale, and we're going to do this next week.
Give me the sell. I guarantee Dominique would hit me back.
I got you.
Guarantee you. He might be like, Drapes, whatever you need, you just tell me. That's why he might. That's my guy.
When they were here, I know he wasn't here, but didn't he like respond to you, Jay? Like, yeah, I could do something later. And then like we never heard from him after that. But he did respond. But
no, I didn't have his number.
Yeah, but I think Jay texted him.
Oh, yeah, he responded to Jay. Yeah,
but he wasn't
here. Wasn't on the trip. He wasn't on the trip. Yeah. Yeah, Dominique for sure. Who else could I get? You know who I did text one time, and I wanted him to come on the show, but I didn't hear back from him. Paul Pierce.
Ah. Ooh, the truth.
Yeah, that's my guy. I'm surprised he didn't text me back.
There goes
but
my
Paul
guy.
Pierce, like, I'm going to hit him up one more time. They're be like, Paul, you know, let's do this.
We might have to put a list of Drape's guys.
Yeah. Is that how you get to become one of your guys is you don't text you back?
that's the prerequisite, right?
How do you become a my guy from Drape's?
It's easy. It's 100% easy. If you're in the news or you play well, you're my guy.
Okay.
If you have a bad game or you in trouble, I'm going to stand back. Hmm. You Jay's guy that night.
Okay.
It just depends. It just depends, you know? It just depends, man. You know what I tried to do, though? I tried to have a Drapes guy t-shirt made.
Oh.
And it's pretty snazzy. My son has one.
Sure you could have it. You mean you?
Well, you
mean
I had a logo and everything.
Yeah.
But the Kings were like, that's too much close to the Kings logo. I'll bring it in tomorrow or next. Like, it has, like, the crown and everything.
Oh,
and so I was trying to make it a thing. Because in Boston, I had some Drapes guy t-shirts, green and white.
Man, forget that.
What do you mean? That's my employer,
because that's
dude.
What you can use check it. You can juice it. You what? Already timed it. Where Kyle Juszczyk's wife got the, you know, rights to be NFL. Draper, you should be able to go up there and talk to him and get the NBA licensing.
You're right.
And why? Be like, you're already connected.
We could sell this in the team store.
What did you do with it in Boston? You give it to...
Like, I printed... I had like 25 of them made because I know a guy that did it. And I just gave them out to fans and everything. Uh-huh. And yeah. And so...
You just got to get the licensing.
Yeah. Or, I mean, there's ways to do that without infringing on anybody's copyright. You could sell them on through the station, could make money.
Right. Yeah, you
could make
money. You know what I could do too? So in Boston we used to do the Tommy Point, the Tommy Award, Drapes Guy of the Night, and they get a t-shirt, a player.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, you see where I'm going with this, right? Or Drapes Guy or Girl of the Night and give it to a fan in the stands or something like that.
Uh-huh.
That support the Kings.
So and so, you're my guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like that.
See, this is why we all together, man. We lift each other up. We don't tear each other. I like that. Thank you, guys.
Unless Brock Purdy and the Niners.
I know, right? Dude, I can't wait till Monday. Oh, and I just found out, Jay. I don't know if I told you, big fella. Your boy is on the show Monday. I'm going to sacrifice
and
do the show. We land in Phoenix, and I'm going to go straight to the hotel and jump on the show. I'll be in the ballroom.
Over under, passing yard Sunday, 246 and a half.
Under.
Oh, come on. That's an easy one. Jay? Jay's old. You're
no,
because right.
I think CMC is going to be a big part of the ground game.
I think he's going to be right around there.
See, there you go.
250.
It's not blasphemous. 260,
Completions, 20 and a half. 20 in the hook.
Ooh, that's a lot.
Over.
Give me over.
Over.
So that means he's going to throw like 30 times. Okay.
No. I mean,
no,
like,
two or three, 66.
Like Phil Sims, 21 for 22 right. or something.
Come on, in the Super
like
Bowl.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Come on.
Passing touchdowns, 1.5.
I'm going to go over.
I'm under.
Under?
Whoa. Yeah, I think McCaffrey's going to have two.
What?
Dang. Interesting. Rush yards, 12 and a half.
Ooh.
Over. Yeah. Over.
One play. Right?
Nah, if that happens, that means they're trailing. They're down, and he's trying to make something out of nothing.
Well, I thought you meant, yeah. So what are you saying?
No. Yeah. Oh, you want me? I'm going to say.
I'm over on that.
I'm going to say under.
Interceptions thrown. 0.5.
Over.
Nah.
Under.
This is the best defense out there. This is a House of Horrors defense that he's going to face. Come on, man.
And for the last one is attempts, 31 and a half. I'm already going under. Like I said, he's going to be like 22 for 24.
If he goes under,
yeah,
that means they're winning the game.
Yes.
I'm going under.
Oh, hi.
Yeah. I think he's going to be like 20 or 30.
He's going to be like 22 of 37.
No.
Something like that. I'm telling y'all disrespecting this Chiefs defense.
That's a recipe for a certain 49er loss. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, what did you say, 22 at 37?
Yeah.
Yeah, for like 230 or something. That'd be bad. That'd be bad with three picks. That's your dream game for him.
Oh, man. Right? Can you imagine, dude? Oh, shoot. Right. What we got?
Yeah.
We up against it. We're
wrapping things up. Thanks for being with us. What do we got? Well, tomorrow we're at you from the arena getting ready for
Yeah, real quick. I'm going to get this text in.
Yeah.
Instead of Drapes guy, Drapes dude sounds better. Not really. So I can't do that.
No, but you're my guy. You're my guy.
You're my guy.
Yeah, t-shirt. Yeah. You're my guy t-shirt. Yeah.
Well, I'll work on that.
Thanks for being with us. Hey, we got a special edition of The Return of the Empire with Emil and Nate. Next, right here. Sacked Out Sports.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.